Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Andrew Wiggins, strong take for Wiggins. Foul on his way to the rack. And how about that throwdown?
When you want to get action to rotate it to Andrew Wiggins, that's a good idea because he can do that. Anytime you can take on Rudy Gobert at the rim and win, that is impressive.
Wiggins. That's all that needed to be said on that is, wow.
That's the second time Andrew's got Rudy Gobert. Andrew got him early in the first quarter and then gets him again right here. And that's about as much emotion as we've seen from Andrew Wiggins. And that is a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. I love it.
One of only four such games. Andrew Wiggins, the trifecta. Third impressive throwdown of the night.
When you get that kind of space and you got someone just standing with a hoop like that, I mean, his hand is above the top of the box right there. Watch how high he's going up, and he has had some jaw-dropping dunks in the last month and a half, a bunch of them.
Andrew Wiggins, who admitted he watched his dunks back a couple of times on social media in the last day off.
How could you not? That is not human right there.
I've watched a few of his dunks back on social media in this
human highlight film here.
Goodness gracious. Did you see the Gobert dunk?
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see the one that was after the Gobert dunk? You might not have caught it in the audio, but Pete said his hand was over the box.
Oh, yeah.
And it was. He elevated.
Well, you have to get it over the box because Gobert's got like a 10-foot wingspan.
Well, the last one wasn't on Gobert, but the other, I mean, that one too, he was over the, I mean, that dude has some, I didn't realize, I guess, really, I mean, you see it defensively and they talk about how long his arms are, but man, when he elevates to throw it down, you really tell like how huge that extension is that he gets in the air.
Well, I mean, I've seen Wiggins live in high school. Ryan knows this. He was playing here in the Nike UIBL. And, I mean, the athleticism is just unbelievable. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, a lot of people are saying Canadian Michael Jordan and all that. But, I mean, you know, you come in as a freshman into the NBA after one and done. And for him to make the growth that he has, you know, just in a little bit of the time that he's kind of been in that position as being the guy for the Wolves, just incredible.
Even though he didn't win the Western Conference Rookie of the Month for the first time, lost it out to Jordan Clarkson.
Why does that make us so mad? It makes me mad. Like,
it should.
Come on now.
It should. Clarkson's been playing well for that team in Los Angeles. It's one and done. Welcome back. It's Final Four weekend. We've got a lot to talk about. Our poll question today is relevant to the news lately. Richard Pitino has been discussed for a coaching vacancy at Alabama. And our question is, how long will Richard Pitino stay in Minnesota? You can hit us up on the ticket line at 651-989-9105. Tweet at us. It's at one and done 105. Spell out the one and done. 105 is numeric. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a nice number. 7 years.
Seven?
Seven. 7 years. I think Richard Pitino is a guy who wants to succeed. I don't think he wants to keep going over here and then going over there.
You think it's
going
to take 7 years to succeed?
No. I think he's going to succeed and stay here for a while and then maybe go on. Or if it doesn't work, that's all he's going to get.
Let me rephrase that. Well, 7 years, you're talking about five more years?
Yeah.
Five more years.
Okay, so yeah, seven I think he'll be total.
So he's been here for two. So.
Yeah, I think he'll be here for five more years. Yes.
Five more years, okay.
Okay, so the statement from Richard Pitino, bacon grease off of it.
At least.
Was with regard to the reports tying me to other collegiate men's coaching positions. Let me simply say that I am very happy at the University of Minnesota. Grateful to be coaching, living in a community, da-da-da-da-da. State deserves a great basketball program. We're working extremely hard to bring them one. So he said nothing really as far as the rumors that have been circulating and, you know, would he or wouldn't he, but he pretty much went the PC route.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear, you know, based on reports, you know, I had heard on Wednesday night that, you know, he was likely going to interview, you know, yesterday. And, you know, I think that they kind of, he sort of maybe behind the scenes, you know, felt like that just wasn't a position for him. And, you know, whether he was going to get the job or not, nobody knows. I don't think he was a front runner necessarily after Greg Marshall took the Wichita State job, but I think he was in the mix, and he considered it. It is really a lateral move, in my opinion, and I think, you know, what Ryan said is right. I think he does, you know, in the back of his mind, he definitely wants to build a contender here, and, you know, next year he's going to have one player on the team, Charles Buggs, that was recruited by Tubby. So he'll have pretty much his entire squad there, and, you know, he can start building a lot of freshmen, sophomores, but I think, you know, it's starting to look like a Patino team, you know, the type of team that he wants here at Minnesota. And, you know, when you have that in place, I mean, it only take a year or two, you know, for them to really take shape and start to look like a team that can compete.
I hope he wants to build a contender here. I hope he doesn't want to build a stinker here. We've already got a couple of folks
you know,
who are here.
He's had trouble, I think, with the two teams that he inherited that were definitely not stinkers.
Well, the truth is he hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't done anything to really, I think, earn an opportunity to move up. So a lateral move, I guess, would make sense. But, yeah, I would hope that he wants to build something. I mean, a couple of folks have already hit us up on Twitter. At Minnesota Sports Geek, at MN Sports Geek, says 4 years.
Sports Geek.
At He Hate Me MN, 5 years total, three more seasons. And then we've got, what does that say? At Sports Savant CB. How long until he gets a decent recruit? That's the better question.
Oh, that's weak.
I don't know if that was a
weak response.
This is a top 30 recruiting class right now. And if we get a couple more kids, this could be a top 25 recruiting class.
What if people want? Do they want all McDonald's All-Americans? Is that what we're expecting here?
I think he's just capping on my poll question, man. I feel like it was more of a personal attack on me.
We appreciate the feedback, though. We appreciate the feedback. No, if you're going to ask me my answer for the question, I think that, you know, we'll be in this position next year. you know, I think every year.
You mean talking about rumors and talking about Willie Woney?
Right.
He hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't taken a team. He hasn't built a winning team yet.
I think that, you know,
it's the same thing
with Tubby Smith. I mean, you know, when you come here, you know, obviously right away, there's a lot of excitement. People are, you know, encouraged about the future. But then, you know, they realize this is a tougher job than they thought. And, you know, next year, will they get, you know, a few more $1 million here and there to kind of, you know, get a lot closer towards building a practice facility? I mean, that'll go a long way for Patino, in my opinion, to feel like that he can stay here long term. And, you know, if they do that, if they get close to putting, you know, something in the ground, I mean, why wouldn't he leave? You know, why would he leave? You know, but he needs some help. You know, I mean, he will go out there and recruit. I mean, this staff has recruited pretty hard, harder than Tubby's staff ever did to try to get players. But they need more than just trying to sell his brand, you know, the Patino name. They need something like resources. They need a facility to say, hey, this is going to happen in, you know, X year. And I think that, you know, recruits will be encouraged by that. So I think, you know, like I said, next year we're going to be in the same situation, I think. You know, but I see it staying a couple more years. I mean, that would be my take, would be at least a couple more years. I see Patino here.
You raised some interesting questions, I think, about the recruiting aspect, and we're probably going to get into that a little bit in the second segment, because I know you've got some questions for Ryan as far as recruiting high school students and how these rumors and all of this sort of stuff affects you know, the recruits and their decisions, the process that they go through. But why doesn't a coach? You sent me an email to an AP article earlier in the week. It might have been just yesterday, about black coaches not getting the opportunities. Why wouldn't a black coach who's earned an opportunity to be a head coach in college basketball, has a successful track record, not get that opportunity versus a Richard Patino? I mean, why aren't these?
But we're not just talking about, you know, black coaches. We're talking about, you know, minority coaches. Period. You know, I think that, you know, in today's game, I don't think it's necessarily black or white. I just think it's, you know, it's about, you know, guys that, you know, that you've coached with in the past. You know, Richard Patino has had the fortune of coaching with Billy Donovan and his father, Rick, at Louisville.
He's just reaping the rewards of the good old boys club.
Well,
I mean, you look at this Final Four.
If you're an AD and you're out there trying to hire the next coach, you know, his name, obviously, Patino, does a lot for him. But, you know, I mean, Billy Donovan and Rick Patino are two guys that you're going to talk to. And, you know, look at Shaka Smart, got the Texas job. You know, he's a prodigy of Billy Donovan. And, you know, I think that anytime you have coaches like that in your corner, you know, I mean, that's gonna help you quite a bit.
I'm looking forward to really just seeing what type of team he's going to build. I mean, we still got a little bit of time here. What are you looking at? I mean, with now that we know he's got a commitment, now that we know he's, or I don't know if that statement is so much of a commitment as it is at least a.
No, I think what it says is that he's going to be back next year, and he can move on and start to fill this recruiting class coming up in 2015. And you know, I'm excited about this class. I mean, he said it in his blog about a week ago. That a lot of these guys will have to come in and be ready to contribute. And that's exciting to me because I think that, you know, Kevin Dorsey, I think that, you know, Jarvis Johnson, Dupree McBrayer, Jonathan Nwanko, I mean, all these kids, you know, are they going to be impact freshmen right away? I mean, I think Dorsey has the best chance. But I think all of them, you know, in 1 or 2 years, they're going to be, you know, really, you know, they'll look back and look at this class as being the foundation for what was built here.
Really?
This is the foundation. That is the group that they've had the time a couple years to work on. I mean, Nwankwo was one of these guys that they talked to right away. They went into New York and they saw, I can't remember who they were looking at, and then they went and checked out Nwankwo while they were there. But they recruited him for a long period of time. This four guys and then the fifth and sixth that they'll add this spring, this is the core. This is the group. This is the time that they've had. This is the group that they had time to put into it. And this is the foundation of guys that are going to carry us in. Is it going to carry us super far next year? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a young team, and everyone's already going to count them out. But on the other hand, like, there you go. You got that nothing to lose attitude. In college basketball, expectations, you know.
They're killer,
but they're also, like, I mean, it's tough to predict what's going
to
happen.
It's tough to live up to.
Look at Minnesota this year. Look at Nebraska. I mean, you just don't know who's going to be. I mean, okay, everybody's thinking Wisconsin's going to be terrible. They're going to lose four of their guys next year. You really think Wisconsin's going to be terrible? You know, I mean, they're going to take a step back. You just don't know. You don't know. And next year, there's going to be a whole new core of guys. Patino's going to have his dudes. And it's going to be, here you go. I mean, this is what's out in front of you. This is what the future's going to be. And let's go from here.
You talk about impact freshmen. Your Pioneer Press pretty much spent two pages on my man T. Jones today. So we're going to talk about
Tyus.
I mean, what was it? The first?
Tyus Stones. I like that nickname.
Tyus Stones. the first Minneapolis or Minnesota native to appear in a Final Four since.
Well, he would be the first to win a championship and start on a championship team since Khalid El-Amin. If Duke goes all the way,
that's some. I know some people who
I'm looking it up right.
You know
now.
Who are some hardcore Khalid El-Amin fans. I'm talking to you, D-Town. That's big shoes to fill. So we're gonna have some Tyus Jones conversation in just a couple minutes. It's One and Done. 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Marcus Fuller, Ryan James, Hardwood Rob. One and Done. We might need to amend that last statement. Is that right? The first. Starting point guard.
No,
since Khalid El-Amin. That's what's in print.
I was right.
That's what's in print.
That
so that's what's going to
yeah,
live forever.
We'll stick with what's in print. Yeah, I did say Tyus Jones is the first. He will be the first point guard to start for an NCAA championship team if Duke goes all the way. You know, I wrote about Tyus this in today's paper in today's Pioneer Press just about, you know, the last time that he was actually at a Final Four was back in 2010. And when Duke was there and they won the national title, he was there with his brother Trey. He was actually a Michigan State fan at the time, which is pretty ironic right now.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that the fact that Tyus gets to make it back here, I mean, he was an eighth grader then, and we were already talking about him being, you know, the next great thing here in Minnesota. He already had a scholarship offer from Tubby Smith. And, you know, he kind of started the dream then. I mean, he said, I'm going to be there. I mean, he told his cousin, Al Nunes, is a former Gopher. He calls him uncle because he played back in the 60s for the Gophers. But Al Nunes was there, brought him and his brother Trey to the Final Four. And it was in Indianapolis, and Duke won it all. And he said, you know, he said, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here one day. And, you know, for the fact that he's there as a freshman this year, pretty incredible. I know a lot of people out there are, you know, pretty frustrated that he didn't pick the Gophers, but, you know, when you get a chance to play for a national championship as a freshman, I mean, you can't tell me how many people would turn up that opportunity.
What does it mean?
Besides me.
What does it mean to Minnesota basketball to have one of our own in the Final Four to be represented on a stage like this?
It depends on who you are. Like, if you are a Gopher fan, I mean, I don't think it means that much to you at all. If you're just a regular basketball fan, it's huge. It really is, because it gives any kid, like, I think of the school I work at. Last year, there were kids in my school who did their health project on their idol that did it on Tyus. And those kids are not... Those kids are watching this still thinking, oh my gosh, Tyus Jones is playing for the Final Four tonight. They're watching that as Minnesota kids who are Tyus Jones fans. Now, if you're a Gopher fan who cares Gophers, 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 you're like...
You're a little butthurt.
Yeah, you're
mad. But at the same time, those are college basketball fans too.
Yeah,
Am I wrong?
But those fans are still—they feel jilted, so they're cheering for Kentucky today, and they're cheering for Michigan State. So they hate Wisconsin and they hate, you know, Tyus Jones because he didn't come here. But if you're the regular basketball fan, if you're a guy who just is happy for what this kid can do for Minnesota basketball, you're loving it. And I'm thinking of the young man who made the poster at my school. He's going to sit down, watch this game, and love it. And that's. There's a lot of people like that. So, like, tonight, I watched the game, having somewhat of a relationship with Tyus Jones for work with him all these years, as well as some of the family members, you know, it's hard not to cheer for him. It you know, you want to see him do well because he is representing our state. He may not be representing the maroon and gold for those Gopher fans, but he is representing our state, and it's a big deal.
When does that hatred kind of go away? I mean, is it always going to be there for Tyus Jones? Because I feel like Khalid El-Amin... I mean, you know, after several years, I mean, he came back, he came into the community. He was, I mean, it wasn't like they said, you know what, you're just dead to us, you know, forever. And, I mean, if Tyus does win a national championship, he goes on to the NBA, maybe has a decent career, will people forget about, hey, he wasn't a Gopher?
You know, it depends on the person. You know, Tyus is kind of a...
Would you?
Say...
Would you forgive him for not...
Oh, I forgive him. I don't care. I'm different.
Well, you're a fan. I mean, I think when you're a fan of the player, like I think about Khalid, and I think about when I was a younger dude, I was a fan of Khalid and Jabbar and those guys at North. I mean, that was, I associated them with North, not with, I didn't associate Khalid with you. I mean, I know, obviously, there's a large association. You won a national championship with UConn. I mean, that's a big deal. But I still look at him as he's from North, and so he's one of ours. I don't care what he does or where he goes to school, I'm going to cheer for him. I'm going to support him and be behind him and get excited by it. You know what I mean? I'm excited by seeing one of our own on the stage.
Right. There's different levels. I mean, Tyus is above all of that. He's just been so good. But there's other guys who are just, they will be straight forgotten. Like, if you go into an arena and they say Blake Hoffhauer, everybody cheers his name.
Right.
Everybody around here, they see Blake Hoffhauer. You think Blake had any trouble getting a job? Jamal Bushmal, you think he had any trouble getting a job? Al Nolan, you think Al had any trouble getting a job? No, they didn't have trouble getting jobs. If you're just a recruit, you could go to Minnesota, but you went somewhere else, like, and you're not like a superstar, you're forgotten. Like,
right.
You are forgotten.
It's tough. It's tough to live up to.
Instantly. I mean, there's guys who, I mean, I'm trying to think of a good example. They just, he's from Minnesota?
But you know,
I think, forgot him already. That's
yeah, because, like, a lot of fans, like, they don't care because, like, hey, you didn't come here, so what do we care about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I think with Tyus, I think if you look back at his entire career, I mean, he never once said, and I respect him for it, that I'm not coming to the U. You know, I mean, it was right down to the very end.
Even though he never was.
Right, but he respected, you know, the Gophers and the hometown, you know, team enough where, you know, he didn't dismiss them and disrespect them like that. And you appreciate at least that about him.
I think
another thing, I think if you look at Minnesota's program right now, I think if they were more of a contender, you know, I mean, I don't think, you know, it'd be a long time before Minnesota ever becomes a Wisconsin. Competing for a national championship, hopefully sooner than later for Gopher fans. But if they were on that level where they were close to competing for a championship and they needed one piece to kind of take them over the top, you know, I think a player like Tyus, not necessarily Tyus, but a player like him would say, you know what, I'm gonna take this home state team, I'm gonna take them to the championship. You know, if they're one or two pieces away, I'm going to come there, I'm going to bring somebody with me, and then we're going to take them over the top. But I think a lot of these recruits may not see that yet. They might see it, you know, too far away, you know, for a championship, and that's why they're going elsewhere, because they want to be there at the Final Four. You know, I think if Richard Pitino starts building this team closer towards competing for a championship, then that elite player will stay home, in my opinion, because he'll be that missing piece. I don't think if Tyus was necessarily playing for Minnesota, that they'd be immediately a Big Ten championship team. They'd need other pieces, and he had those pieces at Duke, and you know, I mean, that's one of the main reasons why he went there. I mean, obviously Okafor went with him.
To be the program that people are around here, you don't necessarily have to have the McDonald's All-American. You don't. Right. I mean, to get to where they want to go, I mean, was Bobby Jackson a McDonald's All-American? No, he had to go to the junior college route. Right. He came in and became a player. Frank Kaminsky. Was Frank Kaminsky a super celebrated guy? Travis Trice. Was he super celebrated? No, they're not. They really weren't. Like, you don't need to have Tyus Jones necessarily to
but
get
you
it.
Do. Maybe you need Bo Ryan and Tom Izzo, though.
You need talent, and you need the right chemistry as a group, and that's what it takes. And so, right now, it's coaches that are getting, like, look at the coaches that are they've got the Elite
the pull, the guys. And I think that really that comes back to the sort of the conversation that we were having earlier, which is how do these coaching rumors affect the high school recruiting? I mean, that's a question Marcus raised. He wanted to address to you. Like, what is – how – when you're hearing about your hometown head coach might be going this place, he might be going that place, does it dissuade you?
Or how does that? Every year,
it depends on who you listen to. It depends on your support system. If you live in home with an intelligent, you know, parent, and you have a good relationship with that coach. I mean, for example, let's just take Malik Ellison. Malik Ellison's talking to Richard Pitino as often as he can, and without a doubt talking to Dan McHale as much as he can. So if he has a question, I see Pitino's up for the Alabama job. You know, is that true? Is that not? They're going to be able to answer that right away. Now, what does Malik have? He can go to Dad. He can go to Purvis and say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? And he can ask these coaches depending on their relationship. Well, I know they have a great relationship with Dan McHale. It depends on your relationships how much that's going to affect you.
It's true.
If you are random, you know, you're just, if you're, I don't know how to explain it. If you don't have a good support system and you are infected by, infected may not be the best word.
But affected by the negative
affected.
Talk or the
infected,
the rumors.
Affected. If you are affected,
could be infected by it too,
shoot. If you get affected by what you see on Twitter, or if you read an Alabama newspaper that says Pitino listed amongst other five other dudes, like, and that affects you, you don't have a good enough support system to tell you what's going on.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it happened with Tubby every year. You know, I mean, from the first year he was here, you heard rumors about, you know, jobs like Virginia and I think North Carolina State at one time, you know, Oregon. I remember I was in the same position several years ago with Oregon. I mean, I reported that, you know, Tubby was down there at the Final Four and they were talking to him and, you know, they had a deal together and you know, it was just tough to kind of, you know, try to move forward and cover the team when you knew, like, every year there'll be coaching rumors. And he admitted it. He even admitted that, you know what, you know, my dad always told me that, you know, if you're wanted, then you have to see what the offer is.
Wow, that's even further than just like, I mean, that's basically saying, yeah, you're not just going to hear these opportunities. I'm going to explore them.
Yes. I mean, you know, I think that in this day and age as a coach, you know, you have to at least see what they're willing to offer. That doesn't mean that you're not happy where you are, but you never know. I mean, I think Oklahoma State, at one point, you know, I don't think it was legit, but there was a rumor that they offered him up to, you know, almost $4 million to go there. You know, I mean, some of these schools have a lot of money that they can throw at coaches. I mean, you look at Alabama was willing to pay Greg Marshall $4 million to be their coach, and he stayed at Wichita State for about a little more than three. But back to Ryan, I mean, you know, you live in this recruiting world. You've lived in it a long time. You know, when a coach does make a commitment like Pitino has, you know, moving forward and he's recruiting moving forward, how does that affect not necessarily this class, but like 2016, 17, 18? You know, what are those kids? Because I think that's what it means the most is what those kids think about the future.
The locals are the ones that are going to watch it. The locals will be curious. But I mean, if the locals want to go to Minnesota, if that's something they want to do, they're going to look at Pitino and they'll probably can look at the next coach. Outside of that, I don't know that too many. I don't think that like a kid who's in Virginia per se is really waking up.
Right, that's
morning,
what
like,
I mean. Yeah, the Minnesota kids.
Yeah, the
right.
Minnesota kids. Right. I think it depends on what you if they want to go to Minnesota. You know, if it's all about Pitino, then yeah, it's a big deal. But if you're a kid who wants to be at, like, if I'm just thinking of Michael Hurt in my head right now.
Right.
Okay, Michael Hurt, I think, committed to the university, and he likes the coaches. If the coaches, like, just tomorrow left and went to Idaho State, and they love the Vandals, and they got $7 million each, and they put on the black and gold, you know, what is Michael Hurt going to think? I think Michael Hurt's going to be like, Well, we'll see the next coaches, because he wants to be a Gopher because the university is a big part of his sell. Well, right. It depends on each kid.
Right.
Yeah, get that immunization.
Yeah. Tubby came in, he inherited Blake Hoffarber and Al Nolan.
Yeah.
And Al Nolan committed to Minnesota, you know, early in his high school career. And he wanted to be at Minnesota. I mean, Blake Hoffarber, you know, I think he was committed to being here. It's funny, you know, they have that rule in where, you know, if there is a coach and he does move on, that, you know, they can get out of their letter intent, you know, even if you're signed. You know, and so that's always worrisome for some of these schools that fire a coach, or
they should be able,
or you're bringing in. Yeah, I agree. I think they should be able to do that. And you know, you saw that with Tubby Smith when he was let go. You know, they had Alvin Ellis. You know, they had Alex Foster to get signed, and they both got out of their letters of intent. Alex Foster actually followed Tubby to Texas Tech, and now he's transferred to go somewhere else. And
amazing, another Tubby recruit is taking off.
But Alvin Ellis, a former Gopher recruit that signed here, will be playing in the Final Four with Michigan State.
Define playing.
Well, no, he did something for them in the Big Ten tournament. He did in the NCAA tournament. He's been playing a little bit. Is he a starter? Is he in their 7-man rotation? Probably not. But
we haven't even discussed the Final Four yet. We've got Final Four discussion to get to. There's been some conversation going around about the Towns stock going up, Towns draft stock going up, Okafor going down. So I think we're maybe going to debate the suck for Oak or tank for Towns, or maybe. No hustle for Russell?
Fake hustle for Russell.
We're going to get into all that next. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, some hardwood highlights from around the NBA last night. Yeah, there were some NBA games, believe it or not. The Grizzlies won at home against the Thunder, 192. The Grizz had 6 guys in double figures. Enes Kanter led Oklahoma City with 24. San Antonio smacked Denver, 123-93. Chicago beat Detroit, 88-82. New Orleans won in Sacramento, 101-95. Minnesota lost at home to Orlando, 97-84. Andrew Wiggins, 22 points. He scored 25 against Toronto on Wednesday. October, November, December, January, February. Western Conference Rookie of the Month. Jordan Clarkson for March. It's kind of disappointing, but the truth is, the Wolves are doing what I thought they were going to do. A lot of people were worried about they were going to win some games. A lot of people were worried, oh, KG's coming back to town. Are the Wolves going to pick up too many W's? No.
Not with KG, no.
No. And KG's, like, legit hurt. Pete was talking about he's got, like serious flu-like symptoms or something or other. I mean, Pekovic, he's done for the season. It's not a career-threatening injury is what I understand. But they're definitely in a position where they've got to draft wisely.
Tank for Towns.
Is it tank for Towns? Okay, so that's the question that I've got, because everybody's talking about Towns' stock is going up through the tournament and Okafor is going down. You've got some other premier players in this Final Four. I mean, take a look at Justice Winslow. I think there's a case to be had for why not Justice Winslow in the NBA, where it's not such a big man-centric league anymore.
Power wing, baby.
But that's the question. Why not?
We might as well go right into your boys killing it.
You want to get into it?
Justice Winslow is my guy. One of my three. Also, I want to pretend that I actually pay attention to NBA. I did watch some highlights. So, Brooke Lopez, the Nets, had a great week. That's right. And then, Sim Bular. Have you heard about this?
I have heard of Sim Bular.
This is that giant guy. He's the first player of Indian descent. He signed to play with the Kings. I remember watching that monster dude in AU basketball.
Yep, I do. He played for the Canadian team with Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, and he also played for a New Mexico team, too.
Mexico State, yeah.
Oh, no, I mean AU.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's got a brother that's like 7'4". That's still playing for New Mexico State right now, but I'll let you go if you're killing it.
Hey, Justice Winslow, man. I'm telling you, the power wing, we're taking over. That's how I played getting up and down in the lifetime. So I'm a lover with the power wing.
No, but Justice, I think he had 21 points, 10 rebounds versus Utah in the Sweet 16, and he had 16 points in the Elite Eight versus Gonzaga. And I mean, this is a guy that a lot of people compare him to James Harden, you know, offensively. And
now that he got that three falling in a tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I Rob brings up a good point. You know, if you look at the league right now, who are the MVPs? You don't see any centers.
Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
And you know, we could have had Steph Curry here.
big week.
Hell no.
So, I mean, do you go with a power wing? Do you go with a perimeter guy like Russell for the number one pick? I don't think you can pass up Okafor or Towns, but, I mean, is that a legitimate conversation to have?
You know the NBA is going to work their magic, and the Lakers are going to get one of those two bigs and hope that becomes the next one. Okay, they'll work their magic, and then Rob's over here praying. Don't pray. It's like they will do it. They will do it. Wolves won't get in the top three.
Please, baby Jesus.
And then they'll be stuck.
Don't say that already.
No, they won't. It just doesn't work like that, especially with the Knicks and the Lakers needing help. They'll get the four spot. We'll be talking about Emmanuel Mudiay or Justice Winslow or Kristaps Porzingis. It'll be play like Porzingis for Porzingis.
No. Well, my killing it this week is, sorry Gopher fans, but it's Sam Dekker from Wisconsin.
Oh, I mean,
as much as you might legit. Hate the Badgers, yeah, it's legit. I mean,
y'all got KG working overtime today, man.
He's done in a month.
He's averaged...
hell no.
He had 20 points versus Coastal Carolina, 17 versus Oregon, 23 versus North Carolina, and 27 points versus Arizona. I mean, you saw that three-point shot that he hit toward the end of that game. It was a backbreaker. He's raised his stock enough where, I mean, he needs to get slapped upside the head if he doesn't go to the NBA this year.
Is he going to be a better NBA player than Frank Kaminsky?
The rate that he's improving right now, and if he plays this aggressive, most definitely. I mean, I think, you know, the athleticism is there. He has a legitimate, I talked about this last week, but he has a legitimate position in the NBA. He's a small forward. He's 6'9", legit. And, I think his three-point shot takes him over the top. You know, NBADraft.net has him comparing him to Sean Elliott, man. That's going way back. But,
that frame.
If you do look at, if you compare the two guys, I mean, Frank and Sam, I think that, you know, I think Dekker definitely projects more right now as an NBA small forward. You know, Kaminsky is kind of in that tweener, you know, is he a forward? Is he a center? In this day and age, they don't really have true centers anymore. But defensively, you know, can he really provide that presence as a center? And I just don't think that's there. I think if he plays with maybe a true defensive and a rebounding presence at center, and he plays the power forward position, I think he can maybe even be, you know, like Christian Laettner 1 year, making All-Star game. You know, I mean, he scores the ball that well. But back to Dekker, I mean, this is, you know, he's kind of a revelation in the NCAA tournament. But at the same time, you know, I pulled out this Athlon College Basketball Preview magazine, and guess who they had on their first team All-American list instead of Frank Kaminsky?
I don't even want to know. You've had that in here for 2 months. It's nice that you finally opened it.
Yeah, finally talking about it, right? They had Sam Dekker. I mean, he was listed as a first team All-American instead of Kaminsky.
Kaminsky's on the second team.
And he was on the second team, and they had him as the Big Ten Player of the Year, you know, going into the season. So, you know, I think the potential is there, and you know, everybody kind of saw it, you know, before this season. If he stays another year, I mean, he could obviously improve his stock even more, maybe be even a lottery pick legit. But I think, you know, enough talking about a Wisconsin player, but Dekker is definitely my killing this week for sure.
Hey, the Frank Kaminsky comparison on NBA DraftNet is Sean Marks and Ninad Kristic. In other words, Kristic. Your comparison is Rick Rickard in New Zealand.
They need to update that, though, a little bit.
They gave him bottom marks in potential. Like, he's 7 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
They need to update that.
That's your national player of the year.
He's our player of the year.
That's your national
player. Where we don't care about skill, apparently.
So who's your killing it, Rob?
Andrew Wiggins is my guy. I mean, the dunk on Gobert earned it for me. That solidified it, and that was like a week ago. My question really is with respect to the Wolves, they're going to end up with a top draft pick. Do they look at Towns, or do they go with Okafor? I mean, Okafor, I think, is who we've had them taken the entire time, if he's available where they want him or where they can get him. Or is it Towns? Or is it Winslow? Like, we've been saying bigs. Like, we've been saying bigs. Sure, that's what the Wolves want to do. But I'm still looking at Okafor. Like,
let's
I can't
just take Winslow out of it. I don't think they'll draft Winslow. I think they've drafted, you know, perimeter players and wings enough where they have to go big. I mean, you lose Kevin Love. You know, Pekovic is you know, he's not career ending, but, you know, he might be a career backup at this point. Yeah. You know, if you get the starting center of the future in there. So, But the way Okafor's played, I mean, I love this kid. I think he's going to be a 20-10 guy for a long time in the NBA. But at the same time, you know, you look at his past two NCAA tournament games. I mean, he's had, you know, he's 7-for-16 from the field.
Like,
you know, two games where he's scored under double figures. And I mean, you know, Gonzaga had a lot of size. I mean, they have a lot of athleticism, but they had a lot of size, gave him trouble. You know, I mean, I look for him to have a big game versus Michigan State today, and if they're going to go to the championship game, then he's going to be the reason, him and Tyus. But I got to go with Towns. I mean, defensively he has it, and he's shown so much improvement offensively this year. I mean, that was one of the things that I think held Kentucky back, is offensively they just didn't have it with their bigs consistently. But the way Towns is playing, he's a go-to guy. I mean, he carried them versus Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame had no answer for him. And I mean, you could pretty much checkmark him. He was going to score every time they gave him the ball inside. And whether he was double teamed or not, I like his post moves. I think he's growing as a player, and he has more upside because of the fact that he can play offense and defense over Okafor.
If the Timberwolves, okay, I shouldn't say if, when the Timberwolves don't get a top two or top three pick, and you have all these talented wings, do you draft a wing or do you trade down?
Well, you draft the best player available.
Mm-hmm.
Another wing?
Best player available.
And look to make a move,
I suppose. Or you could go down a little bit and get something if you can, and then go after your college.
But see, you're already going with the notion that they're not going to get a top three pick. Let's just say
I remember 1992 being a big Shaq fan, sitting there watching, waiting. Of course, it's going to be us. It makes good math sense.
Well, if you're waiting for just one guy.
If we had third pick, come on.
If you're waiting for the number one pick, if you're banking on
ever got any luck in the draft. You think it's going to happen now?
But
no.
To me, if you're waiting on the number one pick, okay, it's probably not going to happen. You're right. But, you know, they drafted Derek Williams at two. This is not a Derek Williams draft. I mean, you're going to get – you might even get Okafor at number two. I mean, if
that'd be good, but then it's not going to happen.
If the Lakers, you know, or Knicks or whoever you think is going to win the lottery over the Wolves, if they get the first pick, they might not pick Okafor. They might pick Towns or vice versa. So you'd end up with – the center of the future regardless. And even if you fell down to three, getting D'Angelo Russell, I mean, he has a chance to be a legitimate all-star in this league.
I want to point out real quickly that Cleveland has had the top pick in the past few drafts with Kyrie Irving. They've had Andrew Wiggins. And Okafor, I'm still rolling with Oak, okay? I'm still rolling with him. He's the most ready. His game is right there.
Right.
I think
Al Jefferson.
His physical conditioning is going to improve. Keep in mind, this kid is 19 years old. He gets a little bit older, he starts hitting the weight room, he starts seeing how these grown men work out, right. And his conditioning is going to improve, and thus his defense is going to improve.
You know what, Phil Jackson, when he brought up that backside, the whole backside thing, I actually started to look at it, you know, and
his backside?
Just check out Okafor's backside. No. But, I mean...
Hell no.
Look at, Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, he's another one that we whiffed on. I wish we would have took
him. He's got backside.
I watched that dude in AAU go.
I love it.
Dude, he's nuts. Dude is straight crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I need that on the team.
I've never seen a guy cuss out a referee with like three mother blah, blah, blahs three times in one game, and a referee was so scared in Arkansas that the dude walked away. He's scary, that dude.
But you gotta be able to hold position. You know, if you're a center, you got to be able to hold position in the NBA. And, you know, Okafor definitely do that. I mean, Boogie Cousins. I mean, you look at Andre Drummond, that's having a great year in Detroit. Some of these centers, you need some of that meat on you. And, you know, I think Towns is a guy that's definitely, you know, I mean, he's getting bigger and stronger. But at the same time, you know, I mean, he's only 19 years old.
You can make that case for him.
Can you wait
too?
a couple years for him to get that size where he can, you know, hold his own in the paint and make those post moves that he's making right now? Because right now he's doing it basically off of length and height.
And he's doing it when, as they say, there's a mouse in the house. You know what I mean?
Right.
With Okafor, I don't think you have to worry about that as much.
I want to see how he does against Kaminsky, because Kaminsky, you know, he's not the best defender in the world, but he's tough. I mean, there's a reason why they call him Tank. You know, it's not because he sits out there and shoots threes. So.
I thought it was just because of the old school thing. All right, we have the whole Final Four to discuss. Yeah, we haven't even gotten into that. We're going to do it next. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Oh, my goodness. Every time I hear that commercial, it just kind of gives me the willies. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket. We've got one show left after this one. I mean, not forever and ever, but just for the duration of the season. We'll probably do some, like, one-offs here and there, maybe around a draft. Whenever something worthwhile, worth talking about is happening, we'll be out there. We're also going to be at the State Fair. I'm almost guaranteeing that we will be at the Minnesota State Fair, so come out and see us. And, of course, you can always connect with us on Twitter. It's at OneAndDone105. Spell out the One and Done. You know Ryan's and Marcus's Twitters. I'm Hardwood Rob, though. I'm gonna beef myself up. It's Hardwood Rob without any vowels.
Makes sense.
I'm not even going to do basketball to watch this week because the Final Four is tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're watching. It's the Final
Best
Four.
Best Final Four ever?
Ooh.
Oh, come on.
Duke, one Michigan of the best State ever. Is the one first of the best game, ever. 5 p.m., and then after that, Kentucky and Wisconsin. So, give it to me, fellas. Like, what are you thinking for this Duke Michigan State game?
Duke Michigan State. I see Michigan State playing the most intense defensive basketball game you've ever seen. It's going to be like 60s to 50s. I wasn't high on Duke last show, but I'm a little bit more of a lover now. I don't think Michigan State's going to be able to score enough on them. I think we got a Duke 63, Michigan State 59.
What changed?
Oh, he's coming out with the scores here.
What changed last week?
Last week I hated how they moved when the ball touched Okafor. I really didn't like it, and I thought that kept them in the game. Utah in the game. Utah just couldn't score. But last week, I mean, Justice Winslow, he changed me.
Power
away.
Come
on.
Matt Jones came out of nowhere.
Matt Jones.
I mean, he was
baller.
One of the best shooters. I think I talked about it last week. He was one of the best shooters in the country out of high school. And, you know, you got a guy like that, you know, coming off the bench and putting up those points. I mean, you know, look at Duke. Duke is a team that, they seem just kind of destined to be there. I mean, Tyus, Okafor, you know, the package deal. I mean, this is it for him. You know, no matter what, I asked Tyus, you know, if he's coming back to school. Of course, he's a veteran at this. He's a pro. He's been, you know, being interviewed since he was in eighth grade. I mean, he said, no, we're concentrating on the championship. We're going to go for a championship here, and we'll talk about it after the season. But he knows he's going to probably come back. But Okafor is not coming back. Yeah. And, you know, this is it for him. And I see him, you know, kind of being motivated by these last two games. His team was be able to advance without him playing at his highest level. So I think he's going to bring it versus Michigan State. Plus, Michigan State does not have much inside. Matt Costello, you know, Brandon Dawson's a beast, but he's only 6'5 and a half.
And he's kind of a
poor man's Trevor Mbakwe. He's a little shorter, great rebounder. I mean, this is you know he's single-handedly at one point at the end of that the Elite Eight game. I mean, he took over offensive rebounds. I mean, I just love watching him play. Him and Travis Trice. Travis Trice is my favorite player to watch in the Big Ten. Not Frank Kaminsky. Travis Trice.
Travis Trice has been really excited. His story is probably the best too.
Oh yeah. And I think, obviously, you know, Kentucky, are they going to go down? Are they going to go undefeated this year? First time since 76, Indiana team. I think Wisconsin's going to take them out. I think they're going to take them out. I think offensively, this Wisconsin team is one of the best offensive teams in college basketball in years. And, you know, I mean, they haven't gotten much out of their perimeter this year. I mean, not this year, but in the tournament.
Wisconsin.
I mean, I think Bronson Koenig is due for a bigger game. You know, I mean, Trevon Jackson is slowly getting more healthy, and then he's going to help him a little bit. And I just think that, you know, Sam Decker, the way he's playing, I think he's still on a roll. And, you know, Kaminsky and Nigel Hayes, this is the best front court by far that Kentucky has played all year. And they got tested versus Notre Dame. Notre Dame doesn't even have much inside. I mean, Zach August is tough, but you know, I mean, Zach August was taking it to Towns, and Collie Stein. And you know, as much as you know, they're going to learn from that game and feel like, hey, you know what, that was a wake up call for us. You know, I think Kentucky, if Wisconsin is playing their best offensive game, they can beat Kentucky.
Why are you trying to talk my Wolves fans into Sam Decker, man? Why?
Hey. This is how this game's gonna go, okay? The Kentucky's defense, they're longer than heck,
right?
And when they are playing well, they are a menace. You can't.
They are.
Deal with
I
them.
Agree with
but
that. I agree.
Motivating them to play defense past 8 seconds, past that first pass, past that first rotation, they don't want to do that. They don't. They right. really don't. They've proven over and over that you make me play. If we make us play defense for 14 seconds, majority possessions, we don't want to do it. So you're going to take a. You're going to get a good shot, and then that's why some of the games have been close. But this is a different level. That will happen sometimes against Wisconsin because Wisconsin's swing wears on you. They're not taking many shots after 10 seconds. They're taking most of their shots after 20 seconds. the first 28, 30 minutes of the game, Wisconsin's going to be right there, if not leading. Then their lack of depth is going to wear out. Kentucky's going to get some juice some point in that second half, and what you're going to see.
But that's what you. I think that's what you felt like.
Explode.
But that's what you felt.
Kentucky,
that's what I felt like versus Notre Dame. That's exactly what I felt like, and it was right down there to the wire. I mean, they needed to make big shots. They needed actually Kentucky, as much as you want to talk about defense, they actually needed to pull it out with offense in that game toward the end versus Notre Dame. And I think if Kentucky does win this game, it's going to be the Harrison twins, you know, making shots at the end. It's going to be Towns, you know, inside. And, you know, I mean, look at Wisconsin and Kentucky last year. They played last year in the NCAA tournament. You know, it was a 1 point, 2 point game. But these are two totally different teams, in my opinion. I mean, you know, basically the same. I mean, Towns, obviously, for Kentucky. But I think that, you know, the way that Nigel Hayes has improved, you know, he's going to be a factor. They can stretch the defense. I mean, you know, when, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein can come out and guard Nigel Hazel on perimeter. You know, definitely. Towns is not going to come out too much. You know, I mean, Trey Lyles, I mean, they have some bigs that definitely have athleticism and they can come out and guard. But I just think that Wisconsin, you know, with Decker playing the way he is, and if Decker was playing like this, I knew he was going to play like this in an NCAA tournament. I would have picked Wisconsin to win the national championship. I would have.
Wisconsin,
I picked them to lose versus North Carolina in.
Scratch bracket.
Yeah.
Wisconsin doesn't have enough good defenders to defend Kentucky long enough. Notre Dame was a better defensive team than Wisconsin.
I agree.
So, and Wisconsin does not have good enough defenders to defend Kentucky for long. They have a couple. Josh Gosser is one of my favorite basketball players of all time.
Right.
That dude's the way he works is unbelievable. Guess what? He can't get some of his buddies to do the same thing, and that is going to hurt them later in the game.
So, assuming that Kentucky, let's just take the step a step further. If Kentucky beats Wisconsin, you feel like Wisconsin has the best chance,
right?
Who's got the better chance of taking them down between Duke and Michigan State?
Oh, there's no question. I really hope. I love Michigan State. You know, Tom Izzo, he's the king of March. You know, in the Big Ten and maybe in the country, but. I just think that, you know, Michigan State Kentucky championship game it might be a blowout. You know, I just think
really?
That I don't think
I agree with him.
I think they can stick with them for a half or so, but you know they just don't have the horses, and they've accomplished quite a bit just to get to this point.
I think the country would love Kentucky Duke. Yep. I think the country could enjoy Duke Wisconsin.
Right.
I don't think
for a second time.
I don't think the country wants to watch Michigan State and Kentucky.
I don't think Wisconsin and Michigan State.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I don't like this. I don't think it's happening, so I put it
right
out of my head.
But if it did happen, it'd be the first time since 1976 that there was an all Big Ten championship game. I mean, it's amazing. Right?
We as Big Ten fans would be excited, but everybody else in the world
we've seen them. We've already seen Wisconsin, Michigan State. I think even Big Ten
like 44-45
would probably.
See, I think Michigan State's got a better. I mean, I think if Michigan State plays with that kind of desperation that they've been playing with lately, not so much in their last game, but for the tournament.
If Ryan's talking about Wisconsin doesn't have much of a bench, Michigan State definitely doesn't have much of a bench.
They got Matt Costello. I don't even know if he's a starter, but they got Matt Costello. He's going to get it done.
He's their starting
center.
Him
and Gavin Schilling, man, they're going to get it done.
Well,
we're
certainly looking forward to watching these games, the championship game, and then coming back here and rapping with you about it all for one more time. So please tune in to 105 The Ticket next Saturday at 10 a.m. for our last show of the season. It's one and done. I'm Hardwood Rob for Marcus Fuller and Ryan James. Thank you very much for listening.